Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. What a joy it is to serve under and with a great man like Dr. Paul Chappell. It is unbelievable how this one man is impacting our nation and the world. And I know that you will want to pray much for him. And any time that he has for rest and relaxation is time that is well deserved. And thank God that he takes time. A fellow said to me one time, he said, "I haven't had a vacation in 10 years. And I said, "Don't confess your sins to me. Amen. I'm not a priest." Jesus himself said to his disciples, "Come apart and rest a while." And we're grateful that our pastor has the wisdom to do that so that he will have the spiritual sharpness when he returns to give to us that which we need. You have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 6. Would you stand with me to honor God's word this morning? Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things wherein ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve, all of us. But what a wonderful conjunction, amen? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice in verse 23, the Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." In other words, if a person dies and spends eternity separated from God, that's what he deserves. But then he did not say the reward of righteousness is eternal life, because none of us deserve eternal life. But he said, "But the gift of God is eternal life." Thank God we do not deserve it, but by grace we receive it. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for your book, the Bible, the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of God. Dear Lord, I pray this morning that you will bless your word, and we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Several times in this passage in Romans chapter 6, Paul uses terms such as "you were, but you are now." And in reality, he speaks about a before and after picture. You see them all the time. Before the lady used this kind of cosmetic, she was very homely. But then, lo and behold, she used this cosmetic, and she is a raving beauty. Now, some have bought the cosmetics and tried it, but it didn't work, okay? But that's another story, okay? Or you see a bald-headed man, but then he uses this particular formula, and all of a sudden there is a bushy-headed man, you know. Or you see somebody very obese, and notice I did not say fat to respect everybody, okay? Very obese, and all of a sudden they are very thin and sharp-looking and so forth. So there is the before and the after. This is what you were before, but this is what you are now. And in this particular passage, Paul is saying to us, this is what you were, but now this is what you are. And thank God what we are is a whole lot better than what we were. Amen. Somebody said, I may not be all that I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And praise the Lord, I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of changing masters. Changing masters. Now, in this particular passage, Paul talks about two different masters. He talks about the fact that before we were saved, that we were servants of sin. We were, in reality, the servants of the devil. He was our master. But now that we have been regenerated, we have been saved by the grace of God, we are now the servants of God. And by the way, there is a big difference between reformation and regeneration. Reformation is like putting a new suit on an old man. Regeneration is putting a new man in the old suit. And we can dress up the old man and make him look pretty good. However, he has not changed. The Bible speaks of a regenerated person as being a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Paul is saying, you were this, but you are now this. I want you to notice particularly verse 22, if you would. Verse 22. In verse 22 of this chapter, we have some wonderful things that happened to us when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and when we were regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we find four simple things. Number one, I want you to look at the fact that we now have been pardoned. We have a pardon. We have a pardon. Look at the term. But now being made free from sin. In other words, we have been pardoned. We were under the sentence of death. But God, through giving his son Jesus Christ to come to this earth and suffer and bleed and die, has paid our sin debt. And he is offering to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth a pardon. Even though we were under the condemnation of God, the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. And if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are under the condemnation of God. But in the Bible, he offers us a pardon from that condemnation. We have been condemned to die, but he offers to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth a pardon. Now, when we are offered a pardon, or as Romans 6:23 puts it, when we are offered a gift, we only have two choices. Either we accept the pardon, we accept the gift, or we reject it. And if a man is condemned to die, and he is granted a pardon, and he rejects it, then he has to die. If a person is offered a gift, and they reject the gift, then they do not receive the gift. But thank God, Paul is speaking to, and this morning I am speaking to, mostly people who have accepted God's pardon. You have accepted God's gift. And therefore, the Bible says, we have been freed from sin. We have been freed from our old master. You think of what being freed from something means. Can you imagine the joy, the thrill, the wonder that the leper felt when he came to Jesus and fell before him and said, if thou canst, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus touched him. He hadn't been touched by anybody other than another leper for a long time. And Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And he looked down at what before might have been stubs. And all of a sudden, he has fingers. He was a leper, but he's been cleansed. He's been freed from leprosy. What a thrill, what a joy. Can you imagine Bartimaeus? As he cries out when he hears that Jesus is coming to his town. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops and calls him over and asks him what he wants. And of course, Bartimaeus replies that he wants to be healed from his blindness, that he wants to be able to see. And all of a sudden, he can see. Can you imagine the joy, the thrill? I was blind, but now I see. Thank God that's what John Newton portrayed in his song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see. What a joy it is for the mind, the blind man, to be able all of a sudden to see. And my dear friend, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, every day we ought to rejoice at the fact that we were spiritually blind, that we were spiritually dead, but now we have eyes, we can see, and we are alive in Christ Jesus. What a joy. Don't ever get used to being saved, amen. I mean, every day, think of what God has done for you. You were the servants of sin. You were dead in trespasses and sin. And now you've been freed. My life verse is Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. I want you to turn to that passage for just a minute. And I'm not going to preach on talk about my life verse. But I want you to notice the first part of that psalm. Psalms 126, beginning with verse 1. Look at it for just a minute with me. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, God had freed his people. Now, whether the psalmist here is talking about the freedom that was given when the Assyrian army was miraculously defeated by God and the people were free, or whether it was talking about the people being able to go back and build the walls and build the temple after it had been destroyed. Which of the freedoms, we're not really sure which it's talking about. But they were in captivity, and then all of a sudden they were freed. They were free. And look what it said. We were like them that dream. You know what they were saying? Man, it was like a dream. It was nearly too good to be true. We were slaves. We were enslaved, but now all of a sudden we're free. We can roam the hills. We can go back to Jerusalem. We can build the walls. We can build the city. We can build the temple. We're free. We're free. Thank God we've been freed. What happened when they realized that this was a real thing? Look at verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughing and our tongue with singing. Wow. We have something to laugh about. We have something to sing about. We were in captivity, but now we're free. And thank God you and I who have been saved by the grace of God, we have something to rejoice about. We have something to laugh about. We have something to sing about. We have been free. Notice what it says. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. I tell you, people that praise God testify to a lost and dying world that God is good. They were laughing. They were singing. Every once in a while, people say, oh, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. And I look at them and I wonder. And I want to say, I'm too kind to do it, okay? If you've got joy in your heart, tell your face about it. Amen. You see, people can't see our heart, but they can see our face. Amen. Oh, they were laughing and singing, and even the heathen looked at him and said, the Lord had done great things for them. By the way, every once in a while, I mention Lancaster Baptist Church to somebody here in Lancaster, and they say, man, God must really like you folks out there, all he's doing for you. And I always reply, he does. He does. We're his favorite. Amen. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Hey, if you've been saved by the grace of God, God has done something great for you. And by the way, might as well go ahead and praise God for it. Amen. Our past, look at it, verse 20 through 21. Our past. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then of those things wherein you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Our past was a time of shame. But thank God we have been freed from that. Now, what is our presence? Our presence is this. We are free from the penalty of sin. Romans 8:1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are free from the penalty of sin. There is no condemnation. Now one day, every born-again child of God will stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. But we will not have to stand at the great white throne judgment. There is no condemnation. Our sins have been forgiven. Thank God we have settled that case out of court. Amen. So we don't have to stand before the great white throne judgment. There is no condemnation. Not only are we saved from the penalty of sin, but we have been saved from the power of sin. Satan's shackles have been broken. We are no longer the servants of Satan. We are no longer the servants of sin. We are now the servants of God. Our presence freed from the penalty of sin, freed from the power of sin. The very moment that we get saved, we are baptized into the Spirit of God. Baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. From the very moment we get saved, God's Spirit lives within us. And therefore, we do not have to be defeated by Satan. We cannot defeat him ourselves, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God's Spirit dwells in us. Therefore, we are free from the power of sin. And then our future is that one day we will be free even from the very presence of sin. In Revelation 21, it's talking about heaven. And in talking about heaven, the Bible says this. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Think about it. One day, thank God, and we live in a sin-cursed world. But one day, when we get to heaven, there will be no sin whatsoever. I love 1 John chapter 3. Listen to it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear. Now watch this next statement. we shall be like him. In heaven, I will be incapable of sinning. Is that not wonderful? If that statement was not in the Bible, there is no way I could believe it. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. But because it is in the Bible, thank God, it's mine. And it's yours. We'll be free from sin. Not only do we have a pardon, but the Bible says we have piety, or we have devotion to the master. Devotion to a new master. Our old master brought nothing but shame to us. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, we have the works of the flesh, and it's not a pretty picture at all. In fact, every one of these words here is a word of disgrace. Notice what it says, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, as which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There is the past life of shame. And every one of those things are a horrible thing. By the way, 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said, and such were some of you. Such were some of us. Okay. But ye are washed. Thank God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our past. But our present possibility is this. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Look at verse 13 in our text. In verse chapter 6. I'm sorry, verse 11. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin. Notice what Paul is saying to the people there. Count it as so. Count it as so. That's what the word reckon means. Mark it down. It's a reality. Count it as so. That ye are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our possibility. Just count it to be so. You are dead to sin, but you are alive in Christ Jesus, because he is in you and you are in him. Our past shame, but our present possibilities. Then he says in verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but, now watch this very carefully, yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This was what you used to do. This is the way you serve the devil, and these are the things that you used to do, but now you're servants of God. So this is what you're supposed to do. Yield your members as servants to righteousness. When you see a word, a sign on the highway that says yield, it simply means this, that you are to submit your right to others. In other words, you don't have the right to go there. You have to submit your right to somebody else. Isn't it wonderful that we have the wonderful privilege of submitting our instruments, our mind, our heart, our eyes, our ears, our feet, our hands, every part of us to God? What does it mean to yield your instruments as unto righteousness? It means that I say to God, God, I don't have any right to my own mind. I don't have any right to my own heart. I don't have any right to my own eyes. I don't have any right to my own ears. I don't have any right. It's yours. It belongs to you. You know what we're saying? I'm going to obey you. I'm going to use my mind the way you want me to use my mind. I'm going to guard my heart, and I'm going to use my heart for your honor and your glory. I'm going to use my eyes. I'm going to use my ears. I'm going to use my feet. I'm going to use my hands for your honor and your glory. Oh, what great possibilities we have. We've been freed from sin, and now we have become the servants of righteousness. And then he says, and you have your fruit unto holiness. Notice the product of salvation. The product of salvation. Fruit unto holiness. Now in the Bible you have basically two different kinds of fruits that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about the fruit of character. In other words, once we have been saved by the grace of God, our character changes. In Galatians chapter 5, a few minutes ago, we read about the work of the flesh. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. 19 through 21, that's what the flesh can do. Verse 22, this is what the Spirit can do. What does the Spirit do for us? But the fruit of the Spirit. Wow. Now look at it very carefully. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Wow. Say, oh, I'm going to strive to have all those things. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit lives in you. Therefore, this is what God's Spirit produces. What a wonderful, wonderful fruit we have. And then not only the fruit of character, but the fruit of converts. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said to the people at Rome, I've endeavor to come to you that I might have fruit among you as I do among other Gentiles. You know what Paul was saying? I want to see some people saved over in Rome. The fruit of a spirit Christian is another Christian. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. We ought to be producing other Christians. We've been saved by the grace of God. Then therefore we ought to be involved as Paul was. And as Paul is talking about here, of telling others about Jesus so they too can become Christians. So we have our fruit unto holiness. Then look at the last part of that verse. And the end, everlasting life. What a great promise, amen. The promise of eternal life. And by the way, when the Bible promises eternal life, it's not just talking about longevity, but it's also talking about the quality of life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. What a great salvation. Amen. The songwriter, Philip P. Bliss, has penned these words. Listen to it. I'm not going to sing it. You'll be happy about that, okay? But listen to the words. Man of sorrow, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When He comes, our glorious King, all His ransomed home to bring, then anew the song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, that ought to make a backslidden Episcopalian shout, amen. What a Savior. What a great salvation we have. The end, everlasting life. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which giveth me them is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What security. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Look at it. But being made free from sin, what a great pardon, and become servants to God. Piety. We can be devoted to Him. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. We have a job to do, folks. The pardon has been granted by God. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you imagine a man having been pardoned by a governor, but somehow they never got the word to the person to be pardoned? There are 6.8 billion people on the first face of the earth today, many of them living right within our walking distance, our driving distance, who never one time has heard this good news. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and that's good news, but it's not good news until people hear it. Let's rejoice in what we have, but let's, by the grace of God, do all that we can to get this good news to the rest of the world.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.